What's up, everyone? It's Nurse Blake, and welcome to the Nurse Blake Podcast. I'm so excited. I hope you guys are having a great day. I'm here with my husband, Brett, with two T's.
Hey, baby.
How's it going?
Oh, my God. So good.
Cheers to us. We are drinking our favorite beverage.
Liquid Death.
Liquid Death Mountain Water. Well, I know we've talked about this before, but we are obsessed. I don't know what it is about drinking water from a can.
Well, I don't know if it is the quality of the water or the fact it's in a can that makes it taste so good.
I feel like it being in a can also makes it colder, and I like my water freezing.
Yeah.
I like my water
cold. But I hate ice, but I like cold water.
Really?
Yeah, I hate ice.
Interesting. Yeah. Where were we traveling where they didn't use ice? Is that Paris? Oh,
well, Europe. For the most part.
They don't use
especially
ice.
Paris.
That's when they know you're American.
Remember when we asked for ice and she begrudgingly brought out three tiny ice cubes in a cup?
Yeah, they don't use
it just like hated
ice.
Us.
That's so funny.
So Liquid Death is so smart because they basically put water in a badass looking can. But let me tell you, we've been going from city to city on this tour, and I will carry around the Liquid Death. It looks like an alcoholic beverage.
It looks like a beer can like a Four Loko.
It looks like an IPA.
But guess what? They're everywhere. We're able to find it everywhere.
I got these at 7-Eleven.
They're so pop. Y'all, they are so expensive for water. But debt to plastic, they donate 10% of the profits from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution.
I love that.
Yeah.
We just have to always make sure we recycle
so
the cans.
Cool. Liquid Death.
I love it. It's a great concept. I bet they are raking it in.
Oh, they're killing it. And I think it's like Friends that started it.
It's a great idea.
So funny. I love that. That's so cool. So this podcast, we're talking all about nursing shifts and really going to talk about, working 12 hours, which is a long time. That's almost half a day.
Almost.
It is half a day.
Yeah, in most places.
It's half a day. I know our podcasts come out on Thursdays, but we typically record them a few days before. So on Thursday, which you're listening to now, where it should be in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hope if all goes well.
Because we have a sold-out show there. But tonight, we are in the historic Paramount Theater in Denver, Colorado.
It's beautiful.
It's stunning.
It's like 1,800 seats.
It's huge.
Yeah, right downtown. Really cool neighborhood. Love it.
I'm trying to think the last time we were in Denver, because they have a lot.
We were here for a nursing conference, I think, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah,
you're right.
At the convention center.
We were here for a nursing conference.
Something. MagnaCon or something.
Ugh. Clearly, it wasn't memorable because it sucked. Yeah. All those nursing conferences are boring the same.
I can't even remember.
Speaking of nursing conferences, we do have some rooms available on NurseCon at Sea. So if you want to join us on the ship sailing out in April, you could get the last few spots at nurseconatsea.com. And we've partnered with a company where people can do monthly payments.
Yeah, we have Uplift. Cool. So they're the same ones that, if you buy an airplane ticket or whatever, you can pay over time. And it's really cool because it keeps the cost of entry low.
We've been having our entertainment meetings with the drag queens and the dancers and
the
our
DJs.
Hosts. I'm so excited. We're actually going to be boarding the ship for a test run in December with the whole team. So I'm looking forward to that.
I am so excited to get the gang together.
I know.
It's just so exciting.
I'm so excited.
This is like the anti-nursing conference. And yet, lots of incredible education.
Yeah.
And CEUs.
We have some really good educators on board.
Yeah, and some badass parties.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. Speaking on Denver, Brett and I used to hike a lot. We don't hike anymore. I don't know.
We're too busy.
Florida. We're in Orlando.
As soon as we move back to Florida.
You hike. I guess we hike around Disney. We hike around Universal.
Yeah.
We get our steps in.
Yeah.
There's no elevation change. Aren't we in the Mile High Club here?
I was talking on the phone and walking a few minutes ago, just around town, and I was out of breath.
Really?
Yeah, because we're in the Mile High City, so it's like over 5,000
feet. Not the Mile High Club. Oh, my God.
Not the Mile High Club.
We're in the Mile High City.
Yeah.
How many feet is a mile high?
5,280?
Okay.
That's a mile? 5,280, I think.
No idea.
Over 5,000.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because we've done some hikes here, I believe, that are some 8,000 feeter. What do they call those?
Footers, yeah.
Footers.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, there's 14,000 foot
14. Yes,
peaks right. here in Colorado. I climbed with my grandfather, the tallest, Mount Elbert.
Fine.
Oh, gosh, you know, 20 years ago. He's 93 now, so
it's
like
the tallest in the States.
It is, well, technically, Mount Rainier is taller by like 40 feet or something, or 80 feet. It's kind of funny because when you climb Mount Elbert, everybody brings a rock and stacks it on top because the joke is that it's trying to be, but it's the tallest of the 14, or there's 52 14,000 foot peaks here in the state of Colorado, I believe.
Wow, cool. We've done one. And I remember the one we did.
Mount, what was it?
Mount Bierstadt.
Bierstadt.
So Bierstadt. Fun. Yeah, Mount Bierstadt. That's in Colorado? That's here?
That's here. I did not make the summit because I had the shits.
He had a code brown.
Code brown.
A number two.
Mm-hmm.
Where were we? Like halfway up?
We were more than halfway. You kept going.
Going.
Did you summit?
I made it to the top. I summited.
Of course you did.
With a rainstorm coming. And remember, I had to run down for dear life. It was me and this girl. We were the only ones left. And she was a runner, like a track star. And I'm like, bitch, you ain't leaving me. You ain't leaving me.
Well, you're running downhill.
But luckily. I had to keep up with her. And I'm from the ground floor. I'm from Florida. I'm
sea
from
level.
Zero. I'm from 0 feet.
Now you're here.
And I'm here running with a track star trying to run down while there's lightning.
So lightning in Colorado, in the mountains, they call it white lightning because it is literally white. It's you're like up in the clouds when it's happening. And it is the most scary. People die of lightning all the time.
Here?
In Colorado, yes.
Isn't Florida the lightning capital?
It is, but when you're hiking, you're above the tree line.
Okay.
So usually the tree line where there's a very defined line where the trees stop, and it's because of there's no oxygen.
Got it.
Like there's a certain level at which trees just, and it's a very like you can clearly see they call it the tree line.
Okay.
You were 3,000 to 4,000 feet above the tree line.
Got
and
it.
So there's nothing. It's just a bald mountain. And so when there's lightning. There ain't no cover.
Right.
There's nowhere to run. There can be hail, huge storms come. And I remember I could see you running down the mountain as the lightning was catching up with you. And I was worried. I was yelling. I'm like huddled in some outhouse, some Forest Service outhouse at the base of this mountain.
Oh my God.
But I was praying for you.
Thank you, babe.
I was praying for
Luckily,
you.
I made it down a lot. I was so excited I made it all the way to the top.
That's cool.
I think that was my tallest mountain. Mount Bierstadt.
I think so.
Yeah. Which is so fun. I love it here. It's really cool. You would think it's in the mountains, but Denver's not. It's near the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the plains right next to the mountains.
That's so cool. I would love to go skiing.
Yeah. Well, usually around Thanksgiving is when the ski hills start to open.
Okay.
So we're a little early.
Okay.
But we're going to be driving. We're going to be driving to Salt Lake City tonight.
Okay.
The problem is, you know, we drive in the middle of the night
bus.
So.
I don't see no snow. It's warm. I was walking around with my t-shirt today.
Yeah.
Where's the cold weather? It was colder in Florida. It was colder in Austin, Texas than it is here right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few favorite things. We have a lot of favorite things. And one just kind of slipped my mind, which was our favorite thing. Oh my gosh. We went for the first time to Olive Garden together.
Oh my God. We did.
We were in Kansas.
Salina,
Kansas.
Yep.
Because our bus driver can't drive over 10 hours. So going from
Austin
to Denver, we had to stop in Salina, Kansas.
Yep. Got the privilege to walk around Salina for the day.
Yep.
Yep.
We went to the world's smallest Target.
It was so cute.
And then right across the street was Olive Garden. And let me tell you, I'm not proud, but I'm super proud. I had like 6 breadsticks.
They were amazing.
With the unlimited ending Alfredo sauce. And I could just eat that. Screw the salad. Screw their pasta.
I'm telling you.
I just want their breadsticks.
So I remember Olive Garden as the breadsticks being popular, but I didn't really like them back in the day. I don't know if they changed it
They're the same. It's your taste buds.
I guess. I loved them because I love me some bread.
I want to go back. So, oh, yeah. So Darden owns Olive Garden. They used to own Red Lobster. I don't think anymore. But even the Red Lobster rolls, the cheesy Red Lobster. Yeah. Oh, my God. Delicious. Darden just hits you with the carbs.
So Darden, by the way, at least back 7-8 years ago when we knew them, they're based in Orlando, and they're like the largest restaurant company.
Bahama Breeze.
They own everybody. They own Olive Garden was like their main one, but then they have some high-end
ones. They
have
Capital Grill.
Eddie V's.
Oh, Eddie V's.
Seasons 52. I think they own Capital Grill now.
So too.
They're like a conglomerate, and they're huge in Orlando.
Yeah.
And they employ like 2 million people because they got many restaurants.
It hit hard with the breadsticks.
Smoky Bones.
Yeah. It hit hard with the breadsticks. So yum.
I was impressed.
Speaking of really healthy foods, it goes to our real favorite thing this week, and that's Insomnia Cookies.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all are lucky enough to live or be by an Insomnia Cookies, but they are like the late night go-to cookie joint.
They're like open till like 5 a.m. or something ridiculous.
They are, because their big thing is delivery. So they're typically in big suburbs or downtowns, and you order cookies for delivery. And we actually did this a few weeks ago. We've been going to Insomnia Cookies a lot now with the tour, because we get like boxes of cookies and like give them to the theaters and to all the crew.
Yep.
So we always try to find one. But on the way, I've also sent some just boxes of cookies to hospitals along the way from Insomnia Cookies.
That's awesome.
And their cookies are warm. They hit hard.
Gooey.
And when I'm in a moist... And when I'm dank, ew, gross.
All right,
you're
stick with
nasty.
Moist. We'll stick with moist.
Trigger warning, moist.
Oh, no.
They make an ice cream sandwich cookie. So it's two cookies with your choice of ice cream. And it just is so delicious.
So, because the cookies are warm and the ice cream is cold.
If I had the choice between ice cream and cookies, I'm choosing ice cream. But if I get a warm cookie and have the option for ice cream, yum.
Bring it.
That's like cake. Like, I don't like chocolate cake. I don't like brownies. But if you're going to top that off with some ice cream, I'm there for it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I am there for it.
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
You like, you like the cake.
I do. See, like, I don't like frosting, but I like a moist cake. Love brownies. That is my go-to dessert.
He loves
brownies.
You
give me the chance for some good quality brownies. No nuts. I'm allergic. But good quality fudge brownie. Oh, my gosh.
You're there for it. Oh, my gosh. There's no air in here.
Strap in.
I've been keep on breathing for air.
I know. I feel like we're going to need oxygen therapy.
Can someone, any nurse from Denver, Colorado, if you could just bring a tank of oxygen, please. Two nasal cannulas. That'd be perfect. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. So we're going to get into what we're talking about here, which is nursing shifts.
So, you say shifts or shits?
Nursing. We're not allowed to take shits at work because there's no time.
There's no time. No breaks. There's no bathrooms.
You know, you're supposed to shit on company time.
You're not supposed to.
No, you are.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, because you shit on company time. You're not like... That's how you give it back to the boss.
Oh, yeah. That's how you stick it to
it's
the
like
man.
It's like your boss makes a dime, you make a penny. That's why I shit on company time. You never heard of that?
No.
Yeah, that's
funny.
Yeah, you shit on company time.
That's funny.
But we have lives on the line, so we don't have time.
Oh.
You have to typically go a PSP, pre-shift poop. You have to go in before your shift.
Yeah.
Take a poop.
I do a PSP, a PPP, a pre-podcast poop.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess sit here for over an
bathroom,
hour. So.
In this little bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Typically, like nursing, I don't know where... This podcast is all just going to be about nursing shits because we've now shifted from shifts and we're talking about nursing shits. So there's typically only one bathroom. Teeny tiny bathroom. It's either in the break room or by the freaking nurse's station.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, like, you're only supposed to go number one. Like, you're not supposed to go number two.
Oh, it's like living on a bus.
It's like living on, yeah, we can't poop on the bus.
Yeah, because you don't want to stink up the...
So you typically have to go and scout out a bathroom. Or you go on the other unit's bathroom.
Like, if you see other units,
yes!
Like, coming and...
Shitting
in your bathroom.
And then they steal the bladder scanner.
Stop it. Yeah.
You'd be someone I'd be working on 5W and they'd be coming from 5 East or 6W to shit in your bathroom.
Scandalous.
And they steal your stuff.
Oh, funny.
They steal your supplies.
Wow. So,
and then people will spray like Febreze and now it just smells like orange blossom shits. And then you have to use deodorizer.
Clean linen God, and shit.
So funny. Yeah, that's right.
Summer rain and shit.
So typically, you know, most jobs, regular average jobs are Monday through Friday. Is it 9 to 5?
Does that
include the lunch? How's that? Is it?
I don't think 9 to 5 is as common. I think a lot of times it's like 8 to 5 these days because they say you take an hour lunch to work 8 hours. You gotta come in at 8 to 5
with.
That's pretty common these days. But every business is different. Actually, you know what? Everyone works from home now anyway, so who knows?
So, you know, nursing shifts are mostly 12 hours in this country. They're 12 hours, so you're working from. The most I've worked and seen is like 7 to 7. 7 a.m., 7 p.m.
Yeah.
7 p.m., 7 a.m.
That seems to be the common.
Some hospitals do run like 6 to 6, and that's like...
Or they'll stagger.
They'll stagger. They'll do 3 to 3. Mm-hmm. I've seen 11 to 11.
Now, is that 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. or 3 p.m. to 3 a.m.?
Both.
Oh.
Because they trade out.
Oh, I see.
And I've typically mostly seen that in the ER.
That makes sense.
In the ER, they stagger it out a little bit.
Okay.
I just think since there's just more chaos down there, you have nurses working different shifts, so no one's passing report, you know, at the same time. Like in the ICU or on the floors, which those are chaotic too, because that's where I've mostly worked. But mostly, you work 3 12-hour shifts.
Yep.
Most people are picking up overtime, filling out holes. And I think they used to sell it as like, oh, it's so flexible. You get to work 3 12-hour shifts, which was nice when the average person was working 8 to 5.
And you were fully staffed.
Right. But now everyone's working from home. So right. Their job is more flexible than our job was, essentially. Because we got to show up to work.
Yep.
We got to be present, clocked in the hospitals. And through this pandemic, a lot of other people have had to work from home.
Right.
And we're noticing they're not really going back to their offices because it's not needed so much anymore.
We're in these downtowns, and I can't tell you how empty some of these downtowns feel.
Empty. Empty.
It's
ghost town.
Weird.
Ghost town. Because people are still working from home. So I think they used to be able to sell the nursing 3 12-hour shifts as a selling point because if you work 3 12s, then you're off for 4 days. But what people think and what I thought getting into nursing was I'm going to work 3 days a week. I'm going to work... You know what? I'm going to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to be off for 4 days. I'm going to be off for the whole weekend, you know, Friday through Monday. No. They work you like, you're going to work Sunday, Monday, you're going to be off. You're going to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're going to be off one, work three. Like, it all combines. Like,
yeah, and then they're going to call you on all those days off and tell
get you to come in
or you're not a team player.
And then the way the week resets every Sunday or Saturday, like, it's not... A luxurious 3 12s.
Right.
It's all over the place.
It's not consistent.
You don't get time for the vacation or you're on one, off one, on one, off one. Once you have seniority and you've been working on the unit for long, you have the better schedule.
Right.
You know, some units, they have set schedules. So, you know, I'm always working Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday every week. And then some, they change by the week, schedule drops, you know, 6 weeks out. So you can't really plan ahead.
That's a mess.
You could put in PTO. I mean, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. So I think a lot of nurses, when they're surveyed based on studies, I believe.
It's evidence-based.
I believe there's studies that nurses prefer to work 3 12s over 5 8s.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's still a bit. I think there's a lot of businesses. Look how many normal businesses have gone to 4 10s.
Right?
Right? Same thing.
A lot of nurses work 4 10s as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Mostly in the OR, like operating rooms.
So many people, like commuting time, if you start looking at it, you're adding another hour, sometimes 2 hours to your day. So if they cut 2 days off of their schedule, they're saving 2 to 4 hours a week just in travel time, just in commute time.
Yeah. I feel like nurses, we just want to get it over with. You just want to get it over with because when they're surveyed, would you rather have 5 8s or, you know, 3 12s? It's like always 3 12s. But then the point goes to safety in terms of someone working for 12 hours, you know, case in point, our bus driver. It is illegal for him.
Yep.
It is unsafe for him to drive past 10 hours. But yet healthcare workers, just like bus drivers, I mean, our, you know, lives are on the line when he's driving. And
hell yeah,
back.
They are.
You said you don't think about...
Oh my God, can I cut in real quick?
Yeah.
Say, hold your thought. Literally 2 nights ago, our bus driver had to, we were somewhere between Austin and Salina, Kansas. We were just outside of Austin. It was about 2:30 in the morning, and he had to slam on the brakes and pull off on the shoulder because there was a car going 70 miles an hour or full speed on the wrong side of the highway right at us.
Wrong way drivers.
Whoa.
Wrong way. They're so dangerous and probably out of Texas because as an injury prevention coordinator in Harris County in Houston, we saw a lot of drunk wrong way drivers.
That's
and we're
wild.
Driving at night when all the drunk drivers are out. It's super dangerous. But, you know, for our safety and his safety, he can't drive past 10 hours. And you just said before this podcast, you're like, babe, are you sleeping better on the bus? I'm like, And he's like, yeah, I really don't think about crashing anymore.
That's true.
But yeah, we just had the wrong way driver the other day.
Yeah.
You don't think, I think about it all the time.
I don't anymore.
It's my anxiety.
I don't anymore. It's, I've gotten used to it. I mean, we've been on this bus for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And finally I can, although, you know, I'm still kind of in and out of sleep. I'm still, just because it's moving and.
Well, apparently the lightning here is more dangerous than being on a bus.
I don't know about that. Pretty dangerous in Denver, though.
So our driver can't drive past 10 hours. So it's a huge safety thing. Pilots?
Highly regulated.
Pilots?
Oh, same thing. Yeah.
Can't. But nurses. And sometimes we're not working just 12 hours. It's like 13 hours or 14 hours if you're really busy, if you're covering part of a shift. Some nurse was yelling out, we do 16 hours. It's like, what?
That you just, oh my God, my mind's just blown. Like, I've thought a lot about the whole, like, safety. Like, there doesn't seem to be regulation. But literally truck drivers are regulated so much more than nurses who are taking care of patients who could die. I mean, they're doing life support. I mean, it's absolute same thing with pilots. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy that that doesn't exist for healthcare workers.
It's wild. I think about it all the time. Flight attendants, you know, if there's not enough flight attendants per number of seats on the plane, they ain't flying till they're fully staffed. But yet nurses, we're always working short-staffed. No one cares. We have no regulations on the hours we work, how much we work.
And I love our flight attendants, but the what they do versus what a nurse on an ICU or an emergency room is doing, you can definitely see nurses being regulated at least as much as flight attendants.
For sure. It's,
at least.
It's wild. It's crazy. Kim, she's a flight attendant, my best friend. We talk about this all the time. You know, their job is to ensure safety of all the passengers if anything happens. So if they're flying too much, you know, critical thinking goes down. Your ability to respond to things slows down if you're tired. You know, just like nurses, it's our job to keep patients alive, make sure it's safe. But yet, they don't care. They're calling us when we're off. We're working 5-12s in a row. It's like,
crazy.
What?
Well, let me tell you that I hate to say it, that shows you the strength of hospitals when it comes to lobbying and the weakness of nursing organizations when it comes to lobbying.
Yeah, for
sure. Because that is ridiculous.
I mean, that should just be, where are these big nursing organizations at when we need them? Isn't that their job?
What big nursing organizations?
Yeah, you know, the ones that don't really help us. And then there's some like places where they have like mandatory overtime.
What?
Mandatory overtime.
How does that work?
You have to work mandatory overtime.
I don't even think that's
and you can't
legal.
No. So, for example, this is overtime laws for nurses vary by state. This is by workforcehub.com, California versus Florida. So California has specific guidelines around nurse overtime. There's a bill that prohibits mandatory overtime for nurses. So this went into effect January 2016. California law prohibited mandatory overtime for nurses. Florida has not enacted laws to regulate overtime.
Oh, of course not.
For nurses beyond federal overtime laws. So we can be forced to come in and work overtime.
Wow. You know, I know California takes a lot of flack for having like over-regulating,
yeah.
but they do have a number of healthcare rules that really are geared towards patient safety and advocating for nurses. Now, I'm sure we're going to get some emails. Maybe there are some that people don't like, but things like safe staffing ratios, that particular bill. How do you have to have a bill that says that you can't mandate that nurses work more than they should?
Right.
It's wild.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
That is
wild. Yeah, when you look at California versus Florida, they have safe staffing laws. They have like lift teams and break nurses and uninterrupted lunches and stuff.
Could you imagine?
No. What is that even like?
And then they're one of the highest paid too.
I know.
Wait a second.
What is happening? All
right. Everybody get in your car. Pack up. We're all moving to California.
Pack up. We're moving.
Decisions made.
We're moving. They pay really well, but then again, California is so expensive. So is Florida.
Yeah, but they pay like three times what Florida is, and it doesn't cost three times as much to live in California.
No.
And California too is an extremely diverse state. I mean, the north is so different from the south, and then you got the deserts and the mountains and the oceans and the beaches and the urban. And
I can't wait to come out to California for the shows. I'm so excited.
So let's see, we're playing San Diego, LA, San Francisco, and then two shows in Sacramento before we head off to Eugene, Portland, and Seattle.
I'm so excited. We have some production companies coming out to the LA show to see the show in hopes that they make it a comedy special. So fingers crossed, everyone. Email Netflix right now, tag them, message them, and tell them we need a nurse comedy special.
Yes, call their CEO.
It would be so cool to have the PTO comedy tour like as a special on Netflix or something.
That'd be so awesome.
It'd be so cool.
It'd be so awesome.
Yeah, so if you guys can help me spread the word, get Netflix to listen to us. Cool. So basically, that's it.
Wait, what? That's it for
nurses
shifts?
Work 12-hour shifts.
No, there's so much more.
Nurses
to
work
this.
12-hour shifts.
Well, not all of them.
Like I said, like you have, you know, some nurses. When I was an injury prevention coordinator in Houston, I worked mostly Monday through Friday. There's a lot of like care coordinator roles. And so when I was a care coordinator in Seattle, like social work, that was a Monday through Friday, 7 to 4, you know, kind of job. So there are nurses, like, don't feel like nurses in the States only work 3-12s. There's plenty of options if that schedule doesn't work out for you.
Well, first of all, that schedule primarily applies to hospital nursing jobs, right? Which is about 60% of nurses work in hospitals, maybe a little less.
At the bedside.
Yeah, at the bedside.
But there's, you know, jobs like I was injury prevention coordinator and care coordinator that were at the hospital that were just away from the bedside.
Right.
That offered a little more, you know, flexibility, but it was 5 days a week. And a lot of nurses don't want to work 5 days a week.
Now, was that like a 9-to-5 where their care corps just aren't there in the evenings?
Right. Or you have one or you just have less of them at night.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep, just like one or two or someone on call.
You know, one we don't talk about a lot, and of course, coming from Florida, this is a huge industry, is home health care nurses, right? Very flexible schedules where you are actually going to the home. A lot of retirees, a lot of older care. What would you call that? Elder care? I don't know. Just caring for more older population.
Yeah.
Really big in Florida.
Really big. My Aunt Janie, she is a hospice nurse and doesn't do inpatient stuff. She does all outpatient stuff. Her schedule can get crazy in terms of like she has her shifts, but she's also on call a lot. And if she has her patients and let's say they're, you know, passing, like she has to have her phone on call, has to be ready to go see and help that patient. So
can we talk about on-call? I know you make fun of that. Would a normal, like, 312 nurse have times when they're on-call, or is that typically not?
So pre-pandemic, on-call would happen a lot. Right now, everyone's so short-staffed, no one's being put on-call because they need you, essentially.
So how does that fit? Okay, let's go pre-pandemic. Like, how did that work? Like, so you're scheduled for 312s, and then on top of that, you might have a
on-call shift, yeah.
So if they call you in, then you're coming in, you're doing overtime.
Right. Or they say, or if you're working 312s and it's one shift, you're coming in, they're like, we're overstaffed, our census is low, anyone want to be put on call?
Do you get paid if you're on call?
It's like a little bit, like a few dollars an hour.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
But you can't drink.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't like be going out.
Oh.
You got to be within a certain distance from the hospital.
Really?
You know, if you're on call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, so they pay you to not drink.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It's funny.
Because if they call you, you're like, yeah, can't course. Be like, I had a glass of wine. Oh my God, that's so funny. I'm glad we're talking about on-call because that is a thing. There are a lot, like if you're working in the OR, you know, there's a lot of on-call shifts. But you have to live within like a vicinity. If you're working a job that requires a lot of on-call, so like cath lab, you know, when you have a patient who... it needs to be seen in the cath lab, but the cath lab may be closed. Everyone's on call, and you have to be able to arrive at the hospital within a certain number of minutes.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of on-call availability and stuff for nurses, too, that generally aren't, because a lot of people that work in cath lab or in the OR, there are, you know, a few 3-12-hour shifts, but most of them are 8 or 10 hours.
I wonder what correctional nurses, what their schedules are like. Are they usually 3-12s or are they more like 8-hour shifts?
Because
that can be, because I guess they have to have staff 24/7.
I prefer sleeping. No, when I was actually a patient transporter, my favorite shift was an 8-hour shift. And that was from 3 to 11. 3 p.m.
Yeah.
to 11 p.m. That was so fun.
You know why?
Because
you like to sleep in.
I like to sleep in, and I'm a night person.
You're a night
so,
person.
Like, getting home at midnight was fine, and then sleeping in, I love that.
That's why we're such a good team. I'm a morning person, you're a night person.
Does it go down to money? Well, I think there's a lot of safety concerns when we talk about shifts. So, 3 12-hour shifts, there's safety concerns in nurses working that long of a time. But then there's also safety concerns in nursing and healthcare. On the other side, if you have nurses working 8-hour shifts, you're having to give handoff report 3 times within 24 hours. So a lot of miscommunication can happen during a report. So when you have nurses working 12-hour shifts, you're only doing one handoff, one report.
Yep.
If you have 8-hour shifts, you're handing off to 3 people. There's could be a higher likelihood of things being missed at that transition. But money-wise, what saves the hospital more money, 3-12s, in terms of staffing?
Yeah. So if you think about it, it's the same amount of staff, right? If it's done properly, because instead of working 3 days, you're working 5 days. So the reality is from a pay perspective, it's not like they have to have more staff to manage that. However, there's a lot of logistics and there could potentially be cost to the hospital to try to have 3 different shifts coming in all the time. You're going to have, if somebody calls out,
That
multiplies because now you have more people working that day.
Right.
So you have more chance that you have to like, you know, fill in and whatnot. So I think I personally, and I say this from a perspective of never having to work a 12-hour shift in the hospital, from a business management perspective, 3 12-hour shifts seems to make sense to me. We all know that they're not actually 12 hours because you have to overlap with the incoming nurse and there has to be a handoff. So let's say they're really 3 13-hour shifts, works out to roughly 40 hours a week. Makes sense. Fairly easy to staff, should be easy to staff if you have the proper staffing and the right systems and protocols. But in terms of like just dollar for dollar, you're still really paying the same number of hours. Now there may though, because there's that overlap, because you have to do the handoff, there would be 2 of those in a 24-hour period instead of one. So maybe you're paying everybody about an extra hour.
Okay.
You know, an extra hour's worth in a 24-hour shift because you've got one additional handoff.
So. Well, they don't pay nurses enough anyway, so.
Oh, so it's not
already
big deal.
Cheap anyways.
Not a big deal.
No, that's so funny. I always preferred, obviously, 3-12s over 8-5s. But people think like, oh, you only work 3 days. It must be so nice to be a nurse. That's so easy. No. It's hard, difficult, challenging. You know, if I worked, you know, 3-12s and I'm off for 4 days, 2 of those days are recovery days.
Pretty much.
1 day is off and the other day is prepping for the shit show that is going to occur my next shift.
Mentally.
It's not like mentally you had to, preparing.
Yeah, do homework or anything, but yeah mentally preparing. Yeah.
But it is. Like
it would take you about a day or two to like, to settle into to being normal.
Some nurses I know, which is so crazy, you guys. Some nurses would like, because the way the new schedule like works, the new pay period works when you do 3 12s, they'll do three days in a row. And then once that next pay period ends, they'll do another 3 days. So they'll work 6 12s in a row, but then they'll be off for like 7 or 8 days.
That's pretty nice.
I know. But that 6 12s, I would die. I would get through shift number 2 and I'd be like, oh, f-.
Really?
Yeah, babe, you've never worked a 12-hour shift.
I don't know.
You've never worked.
I've never worked 12 hours.
You don't even have time for a lunch, babe. You don't even have time for a break. You can't even shit.
I know. That sucks.
It's a lot. But some people like that because then you work 6 days and you're off 8. I just think it's for everyone knows their own boundaries, and that's a boundary for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a boundary for me.
Yeah. Well, you need your sleep.
Yeah, for sure. I need my sleep.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna get too into my theory of why hospitals are not incentivized to pay nurses more or hire more nurses, because they're not a profit center for hospitals. They don't ever charge anyone for their services. You're just sort of wrapped up in the I said I wasn't gonna say it. I think that really ends up being one of the biggest issues, though, on how to improve on staffing and to make these shifts work, mm-hmm. is the shortage in so many of these settings needs to be addressed, and that comes from better management, better policies, better pay, better advocacy. It's just so sad to see so many healthcare facilities so short-staffed where, and this is something that you really harp on a little bit in your show in a fun way, but, it's almost like, hospitals, I don't know, I don't want to give away parts of your show, but I think that there's a lot of work that needs to be done to put nurses in a better position, mm-hmm. where 3 12s is an enjoyable lifestyle, right. and an enjoyable career,
right.
for the professionals that work so hard at keeping people healthy and safe, the nurses. And I would love to see more work continue to.
You said so much without saying, you got your point across without giving it away, but a lot of words.
I know.
It took a lot of words.
I was stumbling a little
bit
there.
That's okay.
Because you're looking at me like...
That's okay.
Are you going to like...
That's okay. Are you
going to recite my...
Okay. That's my show. It's my content. No, I'm just kidding.
Fine.
Oh my God. I love that. No, I think you're so right. 3 12-hour shifts should be so enjoyable.
Yes.
Being a bedside nurse, working 3 12-hour shifts, someone should be able to retire happily.
Yeah.
In that position.
Work. There is no reason that cannot work.
And be so enjoyable and such a great work-life balance.
Yep. That's what I was trying to say.
And 12-hour shifts wouldn't be crazy if we were fully staffed. 12-hour shifts wouldn't be crazy if we were able to get our lunch.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just gotten so crazy that it becomes not enjoyable. So what I tell nurses now, if you're working a schedule that you don't like, try to find something that's more flexible, because every type of schedule is out there in different nursing positions.
Yeah.
Hell, if you want summers off, become a school nurse. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like there's so many different avenues you could go in nursing to find the schedule that you like and love and deserve, because I think all of us, as nurses, we see life and we see death and we realize how short I believe life is compared to other people that don't really see, tragedies happen and people get sick and ill. And I think out of anyone, we know the importance of work-life balance, and we deserve, I think, a good work-life balance.
More than most.
And I think our not only do we deserve it, but our patients deserve it. Our patients deserve a nurse with a good work-life balance. A patient deserves a nurse who is not tired.
Yep.
A patient deserves a nurse who does not have to work mandatory overtime. And a patient deserves a nurse who gets a lunch break.
They certainly pay enough to be at the hospital.
Thank you so much.
My goodness.
Exactly. Right?
God. It's like 10 grand a night.
A night. Isn't that wild?
For what?
For what? They ain't paying nurses that much.
No.
We ain't getting that much.
But there's the challenge. They're not charging for nurses, so they're rolling them up somewhere in that weird $10,000 a night number. Jeez. I don't know where y'all are.
Oh my gosh.
How much they account for you, but it's not enough.
That's so funny. I was talking, we were doing a category on my Instagram, and all these VIP rooms and suites.
Oh, I saw that.
For what? Some of these VIP suites, oh my God, especially in like Dubai.
Yeah.
And Florida. There was like a Lily, trying to think of the name.
Oh,
I said,
Lily Taylor or something. Oh,
No. Vera Bradley.
Yeah.
It's like an expensive Vera Bradley. When I said, oh my God, it's literally a Lily Pulitzer hospital suite in South Florida. It looks like a Vera Bradley designed VIP
suite. Super floral.
And people came out to me, they're like, it's not Vera Bradley, it's Lily Pulitzer. It's a lot more expensive. It's the same.
Okay.
It looks the same.
It's over the top.
But these VIP suites are crazy. But like you said, like no one should be, all patients should be treated with the same amount of love, care, respect, period.
I have a litmus test.
What?
If you work at a hospital and all the nurses are upset because you're not, you know, you're not staffed properly, you're not supported properly, you maybe even think you should be paid more, check to see if your hospital has their name up on an NFL stadium. Or some frivolous marketing expenditure. They got billboards all over the place, right? It is a business, and don't think for a second that you're not the product.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it drives me nuts when I see nurses trying to strike or trying to advocate for support, and the hospital say, oh my gosh, you know, in this pandemic,
we're just a nonprofit.
This is, and then boom, they got a NASCAR team.
Right. No.
Or they got billboards everywhere.
No.
And they're sponsoring
sporting events.
The local theater.
Right.
And yet they're not supporting their nurses.
Right.
It is so disgusting.
Yep.
Disgusting.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Say it louder for the people in the back.
I'm done.
No. He's done.
I'm done.
He has cashed out.
I said what I need to say.
It's absolutely crazy. And I want to send a huge shout out to all the Kaiser healthcare workers and nurses because I believe they're preparing for a strike. This month, Kaiser won't meet him at the negotiation table, and Kaiser just like is blaming the nurses for like not just putting up with the bullshit, you know. And now Kaiser's going to be in a hard point to have to, you know, work through the strike. It's like
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So shout out to all the awesome nurses. I know a lot of nurses have had a strike recently. I love you. You get all my support. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but we totally support you and stand by you because it's definitely not an easy thing to do to go on strike, especially as a nurse, but it's some form of patient advocacy at the end of the day.
Because
patients deserve better in these times and nurses deserve better in this time.
Yeah, and especially these larger healthcare systems, trust me, they can afford to compensate and advocate and provide the tools the nurses deserve.
Yeah, 100%. We have some shout outs. Are you excited?
Yeah,
I love shout outs. They're like my fave. And by the way, if you guys are by an insomnia cookie, go get yourself a cookie because you deserve it.
Support local franchise.
Also, Starbucks came out with a new drink.
Okay, that's not a local franchise.
Okay, but I'm just saying Starbucks is going to be on a drink.
Okay.
It's an iced sugar cookie almond milk latte. So it tastes like a sugar cookie.
That's cute.
Yeah, I'm going to go get one after this.
Are they going to do a unicorn drink again?
No, one liked it.
Oh, was it bad?
It was disgusting.
No.
Tasted like Play-Doh.
Ew.
I want to try this sugar cookie drink. Okay, here we go. Shout-outs.
By the way, if you want to submit a shout-out, go to nurseblake.com/podcast. Forms out there.
And I'm also back on Cameo. So I love doing cameos. They're so cute. So if you have a video you want me to make for a loved one, family member, friend, for your unit or nursing school, you could submit a request at cameo.com/nurseblake and I will record and send you a personalized video. I get some from partners that are like, you know, my wife or husband is a nurse and I just want to shout them out. I'm so proud of them. Aww. Or my spouse is in nursing school. Just show them some love. Let them know I'm so proud. And I love that so much.
Cute.
So shout out to Lindsay. She said, shout out to my almost sister-in-law, Crystal, when my brother-in-law stops slacking and puts a ring on it. Who is in an accelerated nursing school program in Jacksonville after being in the Navy for many years. Thank you for your service, and you will become an amazing nurse. Stick with it. You are doing great. I'm so proud of you. Speaking of proposals, another proposal happened at one of my shows.
That's right, a few days ago.
So cute. So fun. We were in the VIP meet and greet. And this girl, she's so cute. She had a Nurse Blake shirt on. She's like, this is my fiance. My boyfriend. And then he looks at me and goes, can I do it? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, can I do it? And he gets out a ring box. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. And he got down on one knee.
So cute.
I know. She freaked out when I told her I was a officiant.
Oh no, not more Nurse Blake weddings.
She's like, come do my wedding. Reagan says, hey, Nurse Blake, I would love to shout out to my best friend, Maddie. We met as random roommates. My lips are clicking.
A lot.
Yeah, here. You read.
Oh, you want me to do shout outs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot, I don't have my glasses. All right, which one are we on here?
Reagan, the second
Reagan.
One.
Hey, Nurse Blake, I would love to shout out my best friend, Maddie. We met as random roommates our freshman year of college, started and finished nursing school together, and now I couldn't imagine my life without this girl. She moved back home to Dallas and is working her dream job in the ER now. I'm so beyond proud of her, and I'm so thankful we have each other throughout all of nursing school. We are now in Texas A&M's BSN program together.
What?
We'll graduate in May 2022.
Yay, College that's Station. Coming up.
Very cool. Sarah, hi, Blake and Brett. Would like to shout out all the wonderful big-hearted hospice nurses out there. I am new to home hospice nursing, and I've fallen in love with the specialty. Each day, I feel like I'm making a difference, and I'm proud to be a hospice nurse.
Shout out to all the awesome hospice nurses.
Love our hospice nurses. And then Destiny, I want to shout out my friend Sydney in Tennessee, who is in the accelerated nursing program right now. Your hard work will pay off, and I'm excited to see you become a nurse. Also, I'm super thankful for our friendship and for all your advice, as I will be starting the accelerated nursing program next summer myself.
Oh my gosh,
congratulations, Destiny.
Program, 12-week program.
Very,
so
very
accelerated.
Cool.
Aw, you I guys are that. So awesome. Thank you so much for the shout outs. Again, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much. Until next time, have a good week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.